larger than life. It has become a symbol of freedom, when there was always another mountain to climb and another river to cross, when a dispute between two men was settled not with expensive lawyers, but with fists, knives, or guns. Barbaric? Maybe. But some things never change. When the cowboy rode into the pages of American history, he left behind a legacy that lives within the hearts of us all. Ralph Compton. Chapter 1. Maconville, Kansas, 1855. Luke Croft wasn't born to be a gunman. But then again, such a plan seemed unlikely for any of God's creatures. It was something acquired after years of hard choices, bad company, and a few exceptionally bad mistakes. During the spring of 1855, the company Luke kept was set on an irrevocable course that would steer him into the arms of that very unlikely plan. One of 17 children, seated in a schoolhouse near the edge of town, he enjoyed school and fancied his teacher, although neither of those things was apparent on his tight little features. His eyes, pinched at the corners and severe, would have been better suited on the face of someone decades older than Luke's 7 years. At the moment, those eyes were doing their best not to turn in the direction of the boy to his left. There weren't many children in school that were close to Luke's age, and even fewer with last names lingering so close to the beginning of the alphabet. For those reasons alone, Luke was always forced to sit next to the Conover boy. Luke didn't know the 9-year-old's real first name. Everyone, teacher included, called him Red on account of the bright orange-red crop of hair sprouting in tufts from his scalp. Red never stopped fidgeting. He was loud and brash when the children were given time to play and often spoke out of turn during lessons. Not only did those things make Luke nervous, but they annoyed him to no end. As much as he wished he could be stuck with someone else, Luke would have settled for some peace and quiet. All things considered, Luke wasn't a squirrely kid. When he wasn't annoyed, he was good-natured and well-mannered. He enjoyed reading, and since this was the time of day when his favorite subject was being taught by the prettiest lady in town, Luke was very happy indeed.
"Today, we're going to do something a little different," Mrs. Deloach said. She was a tall, slender woman with long brown hair that formed soft, curly waves flowing over her shoulders. Her skin had a slight olive complexion, and after all the bright days that had been coming along lately, it was even darker and accented with a dusting of freckles. She smiled widely, clasping slender hands in front of her. "We're going to write our own stories."
Some of the class let out exhausted moans. Red grumbled and dug a fingernail even deeper into the crack at the edge of his desk. Luke, on the other hand, couldn't have been happier.
"Won't that be nice?" Mrs. Deloach asked.
"Yes,"
Luke said before he could stop himself. Almost immediately, he felt his cheeks flush. While he was never one who strived to be in the other kids' good graces, Luke wasn't ignorant in the workings of the schoolhouse pecking order. Although saying the wrong thing at the wrong time could affect his already shaky standing therein, nobody seemed to have taken notice of him this time.
"Well," the teacher continued, "like it or not, we'll be working on our stories when we get back from lunch. It's a beautiful day outside, so get some food and fresh air, and I'll see you back here after the bell rings. Are there any questions?"
All of the children, young and old alike, knew better than to break the silence that descended on that spacious single room. Nodding resolutely, Mrs. Deloach said,
"Excellent. Have a good lunch."
With that, all of the seats were vacated, and a stampede of excited feet knocked a path to the door. Luke's house, like most everything in Maconville, was a short walk from the school. He went there, ate a few quick bites of lunch, and returned to the long building beside the church so he could plan what to write for his assignment. With hands stuffed into the pockets of his battered short pants and light blue eyes focused squarely on the ground directly in front of him, he thought about all the possibilities for his story. Books had been a passion of his since before he could read them. His mother owned several and had collected a few with wonder.